Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap. That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Arbuckle, Buck will be with us in about 15 minutes on this Tuesday edition. Top of hour two, Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation, and Gator Dave, later hour two. 615-844-5600 is the call text option line. 615-844-5600. I do accentuate the text option there. If you're not on social media, you don't like it, and you don't want to call, which very few people in any audience wants to be on live radio, their voice on live radio. They're just not comfortable with it. There's the text line for you. 615-844-5600. On Twitter, at Bill is King, and you can email the show anytime. If you're only going to email, maybe, just maybe, occasionally, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Interesting here. And let me reiterate, it's the non-playing portion of the season, of the calendar. We can go places that we probably wouldn't go much, if at all, during the playing portion. But it looks like the Pack whatever has resolved any of their differences as far as the money is concerned with all the departing teams. The only two teams left, as we know, are Pullman, Washington, and Corvallis, Oregon. Washington State and Oregon State. And here's a story that hit on Monday, hit yesterday. Members of the Pac-12 have finalized their divorce papers, and the terms are very amenable to Oregon State and Washington State, the two schools that will remain in the conference come this summer. And actually, in the beginning, they've got cash flow. Now, how long that lasts and how long they can remain solvent is a question. But in the beginning here, for about a year, they're apparently they've got about nine figures, $100 million between the two of those schools. On Monday, 12 existing schools confirm they have signed a settlement agreement regarding revenue distribution and voting rights in the Pac-12 going forward. The settlement is a direct resolution to the lawsuit brought by Oregon State and Washington State last fall over who had voting power on the conference's board and therefore the ability to control all its assets intellectual property and even potential dissolution. The conference's two remaining members, Washington State and Oregon State, appear to have a nine-figure financial cushion to use going forward. This cushion, as well as the entire conference, is now under the direction and leadership of the new commissioner, Teresa Gould, who began a two-year tenure March the 1st. The 10 departing schools that are going either, obviously, to the B1G or the Big 12, or the ACC, the 10 departing schools will each be able to take all but $6.5 million of their full allotment to their new homes, meaning this 24 season, this 23-24 calendar year, if you will. So let me just translate. They get their full cut except for $6.5 million. Now think about that. That right there is $65 million remaining in whatever that league is. The 10 departing schools will each be able to take all but $6.5 million. The leftover total of $65 million made up of two separate fees will remain with the conference entity and be in control of Washington State and Oregon State going forward. As expected, the schools will not have any claims to future revenue, with a few exceptions, all of which were redacted from the contract. So right there is $65 million. Now, again, folks, that's just left over, and how long will that money last? It's not going to last long, but it is a cushion. And with all things considered, and here's the rest of it, says the rest of that cushion will come from the conference's other assets. Their exact amount is unclear, but the court documents suggest the conference had $43 million in net assets in 2022, excluding the Pac-12 network, which brought in about $50 million in net revenue. If the conference dissolves before the last day of the fiscal year 2026, assets will be distributed among Washington State and Oregon State, as well as the departing schools. So anyways, I don't want to get too far into the minutiae here, but for at least a year, maybe a year and change, there is good cash flow for Oregon State and Washington State. I'm talking about the next year. They're still inside of the Pac-12 with all the current teams in the moment until we get through the spring, all the spring sports, and then it's over. The Pac-12 is officially over at that point. Only thing left is Pullman and Corvallis, and there are about $100 million in assets there, including $65 million coming from the other teams, the other schools. Now, again, that won't get you several years. It'll get you through that first year. Then you have the time to do whatever you're going to do. Merge with the Mountain West. Dissolve whatever is going to happen. But there is, that's interesting. That is very interesting right there. Jim and Jupiter. Bill, I am pulling for Washington State and Oregon State. Hope they find a home. Well, I don't think they have a home that's going to be overly attractive. The B1G doesn't want them. The Big 12 doesn't want them. They would have taken them if they would have wanted them. And certainly they don't have any other landing spot. Their geographical situation is kind of landlocked, too, in the situation we're in. The only thing that they have is some kind of merger on the West Coast. And then hope that you have a TV media entity that wants to buddy up with you. With good coin. With good drip. But they do have at least a year of cushion there. Which is interesting. Now, whatever is left of the Pac-12 network won't be yielding $50 million in revenue. I'm shocked that that's what they build, frankly. Tom in Myrtle Beach. Bill, how bad does your team have to be to not get out of the Pac-2? Well, you got to have somebody pick up the phone and call you and ask you to the prom to go to the prom, right? And right now, the music is stopped in a game of musical chairs, and there's no chairs left. Somebody took all the chairs. I don't know where they went, but somebody took all the chairs. Alan in Tampa checking in. He is now down in Miami with his excavator, and he said, "Hey, Bill, I'm getting more drip down in Miami this morning." Alan just needs to get himself a condo down there. He's down there so much, he does not like Miami, so he's not going to do that. But, I mean, at least think about the way property is appreciating down there. I don't know how long that's going to last, but yeah, he's got the big excavator down there in Miami, and he's doing work down there, getting excellent drip down in that area. Danny in New York City, our favorite police officer ever. Bill, I know college hockey isn't an item for the show, but I wanted to point out another example of why the NCAA simply can't get out of their own way. Just for context, North Dakota Ice Arena seats 11K, Michigan 6K, Michigan State 6K, Western Michigan 3K, but yet the playoff hockey for these teams is 2,500. I did not know that. Of course, I wouldn't know that. Another item while we're just kind of going to be all over the place. Non-playing portion. You can be scatterbrained a little bit on the show. Apparently, this is the last year of, and I like to say 64 teams, but 68 teams. Apparently, they're going to expand the NCAA tournament, which is absolutely ridiculous, to at least 72 teams. Did you see that? Yeah. Not shocked, though. Buck, when we come back.
Good morning. Give yourself a little bit of extra travel time out here just to play it safe as it really starts to pick up now up through the Antioch area. Behind it, you got all that traffic flow coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, headed towards Nashville on 24 going westbound. It's also increasing through the Hermitage area because of all that traffic being pushed in right now from Wilson County on 40 going westbound through Hermitage into Donelson. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
And now Comstock & Sons Construction is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Comstock & Sons Construction. For all your residential remodeling needs, give the pros a call today and ask about their military and senior discounts. 931-703-5623. 931-703-5623. That's Comstock & Sons Construction. They're professionals who care.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City, located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame. Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville double stack or the world-famous Bar Lines grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
BuyAndTow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit BuyAndTow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, BuyAndTow.com. That's BuyAndTow.com.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
You have your franchise quarterback going into his second year who could use all the help he can get, whether it's system and maybe a veteran guy who's been there, done it, in that room that can help bring him along. I think it's time for the Titans to bring in another Neil O'Donnell, Kerry Collins, Matt Hasselbeck
veteran
type.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
The number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Tessa Buckle is with us and every Tuesday. Buck, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
I was going to begin with, since it's basketball tournament time, you growing up in Houston, the 83 Fice Lama Jamma team, that might be the most athletic team I've ever seen in my life. What are your memories there? You were probably, what, about a freshman or sophomore in high school then?
Yeah, I think I was a sophomore in high school. Yeah, sophomore in high school. Yeah, and so, Bill, I'll tell you, man, it's funny because living in ACC country, you know, ESPN kind of came on the scene in the late 70s, so you got a chance to start seeing basketball, and it seemed like it was a lot of ACC Big East. But the boys from Fly Slamma Jamma, most of them were all from Houston. You know, Clyde Drexler was from right in that area, Alvin Franklin, you know, Ricky Winslow was from Yates. I mean, there was a bunch of guys that were all like Houston guys. So you knew them from that, but you also knew how talented they were. And then Akeem comes and joins them, you know, out of Lagos, Nigeria. So it was just, man, it was awesome to watch. It was really disappointing how they lost, but that time period where they really were on a roll, I mean, you know, it was Larry Meshaw. I can just remember it like it was yesterday, Michael Young. And the big thing about it is you just felt like, oh, they're going to win the championship. Oh, they're going to win two championships and didn't end up winning any. So that was their ability to get up and down the court, man, was awesome. And I was a basketball player at the time, so I really – you know, growing up in the area, you go and watch some games and get to see some of those guys as they were high schoolers. But then when they got to college, you just knew how special they were going to be when they started making that run.
I was looking at that roster. And Reed Geddes, who I think does some broadcasting, but he is a lawyer, and I believe he's from, where is Hedwig Village, Texas? Is that the Houston area?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah,
well, he went to Memorial High School, so
right.
I would imagine that's right there. Some, you know, one of those, like,
right.
you know, Rice University area places. I'm not sure, though. Man, Houston has so many towns. I mean, Texas has so many towns, and Houston alone has so many little small pockets. You know, growing up on the southwest side, I know that area pretty well. You start getting into some of those other areas, you get out of your comfort zone.
But Louisville was loaded with athletes with Denny Crum during that. Georgetown was just ridiculously good that period of time. Those were some good days, man.
Well, and the thing is, this NC State team, you know, I've gotten to know Derek Wittenberg pretty well and Ernie Myers. And I tell them both every time I see them how much I hate them, but I respect them, you know, because winning that ball game the way they did, they slowed it down, and they were smart. You know, they didn't let Houston get up and down the court and made it a half-court game. And at the very end, man, I still can see, you know, the dunk at the end and Valvano running around looking for somebody to hug. And, you know, it's crazy when you think about that, how those two teams intersect. And, again, this year Houston's number one, you know, has the number one seed. And look at this NC State team now. Making a run that they are. I would imagine the Houston folks don't want to see him again if that happens.
Charles Arbuckle with us. Buck, Kentucky every year signs the best players.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're getting put out early in the tournament. Just got eliminated by literally Oakland County, Detroit. And a kid, Buck, I believe a six-year kid, who transferred from a D2 school, Hillsdale, which is a small school up in Michigan, close to Toledo, Ohio. A D2 kid drops 32 on Kentucky's All-American team.
Mm-hmm.
What that business model, bringing in the young guys to just whoop everybody, is that antiquated? Can you do that anymore with the portal?
Well, you know, the big thing that I think is you got to have some experience and some veteran guys interspersed with the rookies and the young guys, right?
Right.
I think if you look at even the Fab Five, you go back to their time, they had a couple of veteran players. There was five very good, outstanding young freshmen, but they had other guys interspersed. I think when you look at Cal's team and Jay Wright, you know, I was listening to him say it. I mean, he, you know, won a couple of championships, really well-respected coach, but he was saying it is so much harder for young, really talented young players to be veteran, you know, good players, guys that have been around, guys that understand, guys that know what to do. And, I mean, you can see that in that game. You know, Kentucky had many opportunities, I think, to win that game, but Oakland just understood their mission better. Golkey just—I mean—he was firing on all cylinders, and he wasn't going to stop shooting. He came in the gym ready to fire the ball up, and that's what they needed him to do. And then their ability to pound the boards. What I always see, Bill, is interesting. This is why I love Moses Malone so much. I mean, I think people think about Moses being a great scorer, but I always tell people go back and watch tape of Moses rebounding. We used to do rebounding drills from our coach got just based on some of the things that Moses would do, how he attacked the board, how he made sure he kept the ball alive, but always going up with two hands. It was never one of these one hand. I mean, he was just a relentless rebounder, and getting a chance to watch him even practice at Fondy and see him in some pickup games, it carried over there. He didn't care where he was. He was going to rebound. And this is a kid that came out of high school, one of the first that made it to the league and, you know, all pro, all of those things. But his one trademark was his ability to hit the boards. And it reminds me of Charles Barkley often telling the story. When I went to Philly, he cussed me out, told me I was fat and I needed to get in the gym. And what did Barkley do? He transformed his body. He became a great rebounder. He was a scorer, but he was a rebounder. And I look at young players playing now, and if I could jump just a little bit, I would still be able to play in today's game because nobody boxes out, nobody goes and attacks the boards the way you should. And that's just a fundamental thing that I always look for. Some of the veteran teams do. And when you see young teams, everybody's looking up instead of finding a man, putting your body on a man, and then going to the ball. Just little things like that that you see, that doesn't change. And that's why those veteran guys are able to beat young guys, and that's why Oakland is able to go and attack a team like, you know, Kentucky, or play with teams where you don't think they should play with them, because they understand the fundamentals of the game, and they know their role. They know what they have to do. And I saw Kentucky miss 5 or 6 opportunities to get back in that game and potentially beat Oakland. But part of it is not understanding that. Think about this. Think about that Houston team. That's physical, and people want to say they beat you up and they do all that. They have 4 guys that fouled out, still won the game. It's because they know how to play. They play together enough, and even the guys that aren't starters know, okay, when I get in the game, this is what I have to do. I have to be physical. We have to be tenacious on defense, but we also have to figure out how to beat this team, however it is. And I think that's what you get with a veteran club that has played a lot of ball, has battled together and beat each other up in practice and know what each other's role is. And that's, I think, the thing that Kentucky and all these other teams that think they can do one and done with nothing but young, it happens.
Joe Zarbuckle with us. We were just talking. Story that hit yesterday, Monday, that the Pac-12, whatever it's called, has apparently agreed to the departing assets, if you will, of the 10 schools that will be moving on to either the B1G or the Big 12 or the ACC. Each will leave back $6.5 million, 10 schools, $6.5 million each. For the remaining two, which is Washington State and Oregon State. So they've got $65 million in liquid assets. And apparently, all assets included, it's maybe $100 million. Now, Buck, I don't know how long that'll last them. Maybe a year, maybe 2 years. They got to figure out what their future is. But that's some pretty good news for those two, at least for the moment, buying them some time.
Yeah, the Pac-Mo West, right?
Yeah.
whatever they're called now.
Right.
You know, man, I think if you look at that, they got to start going back and saying, man, what did we do? How did we lose this so fast, right?
Right.
But I do think you're right. I think there's some opportunity there. I don't think the mergers are done. You know, I don't think everything is, the movement is not finished. But at least they're in a position now where they have some whatever it is now, some stability, right, with Oregon State and Washington State, who looked like they were going to be left out. And I'll tell you, the Mountain West has played some good football, and they've had some teams that have, you know, played a role. It's just so hard for them now because they're on the outside looking in, especially with this 12-team format, 12, 14, whatever format they're going to go to, right?
Yeah.
And how many teams are going to be able to get in from the group of five? And it's hard to be relegated. It's almost like soccer relegation, but that's what Oregon State and Washington State have to, you know, play with now. And I think the other thing is, what does it do for them moving forward? I know what they're going to do temporarily, but how is that going to look in the landscape of football, recruiting-wise, and all the other things? That's going to be interesting to see. And how much more they're going to get rated when they do have a very good player that knows, hey, I can go, because you're seeing it for the Mountain West schools. Guys will go play a year or two. If they start getting recruited by other schools that are bigger, they generally tend to leave. So I'm interested to watch that dynamic moving forward, more so than just this year one and them saying there's, you know, they're unified, they have a coalition, or they have an agreement. I don't pay attention to any of that anymore because I just want to see what you actually have. And it's interesting to watch how so many of these things have started to unravel around these dollars that we see now.
Noel Kev up in Chicago says, Bill, ask Buck about Deion Sanders advising some of his players to decline going to certain cold weather teams. I guess he's talking about NFL.
Yeah. You know, Deion can say it, but it doesn't work like that. And I understand what he's trying to do with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
You know, here's the thing. As much as he wants to dictate to the NFL, Deion was a next level guy. I think Travis Hunter is a great player. I think Shedeur is going to, you know, have a nice career. But neither one of them, to me, right now, are game-changing players. Travis Hunter, maybe, because if they decide to play him on one side of the ball, I worry about him being exposed too much because of his having to play offense and defense so much. You know, that puts you in harm's way when you're playing it at that level. But when he plays defensive back, I think he's got some next-level skills. But I don't know if he can dictate those terms. Either one of them can. And Deion's going to do that. He knows he can say that. But are the teams going to listen to him? And ultimately, if they want to pick either Shadur or Travis Hunter, they're going to pick him where they pick him. Now, that's going to be up to their agent and everything else to kind of work those things out. But, yeah, a lot of us would like to say, hey, I want to go to a warm weather place. I wanted to go play it in Houston. It didn't happen. But I think now we're starting to see how that's going to work out. And I think it's a lot of rhetoric. Let me see how it is, how it proves out this year when they play and make it through this year, and then how that looks for them when they go into the draft season.
If you're a GM, though, Buck, mm-hmm. are you hesitant because of the trouble? If you're a cold-weather GM, are you worried about the repercussions if you do risk taking one of those two?
Bill, there's a lot of cold weather teams. So, is it a cold weather? Is it a cold weather team that doesn't have a dome? Is it a cold? You know,
I'd
have to dig into that a little more. You know, as much as I like Deion, sometimes he'll say some things. I'm like, okay, you're getting rid of about 12 teams that potentially, you know, do you not want to go to Detroit because it's in the cold weather? You know, most of the cold weather teams now are building domes. So yeah, back when we played, it was a little different, but now. A lot of these teams are shifting their focus to having a retractable roof or a dome. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. As a GM, you're going to pick the best person on the board. But if his agent, you know, because I don't think Deion's going to be their agent. He may have a strong say in who they pick. If the agent starts talking that way, then I think that's a different discussion you're going to have between those two.
Chaz Arbuckle with us. Question here on the text line wants to know, Buck, do you have a favorite the rest of the way in the NCAA tournament, meaning the team you're picking?
Initially I was UConn. I said UConn all the way, but I've watched UNC. They look good. I don't think Duke has enough defensive firepower. You know, I mean, sentimentally, I'd love to see Houston. I just don't think they can because of the health. I think UConn still kind of as a favorite. They have been blowing people out. They've been able to do it offensively. Defensively, they're a strong team. Hurley's got those guys playing, and it seems like they're on the right mission, right? Everybody's kind of moving in the right direction, and no matter who they play, they're not worried about the opponent. They're their own opponent. You can see it by the scoreboard.
Good stuff, Buck. See you next week.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Thanks.
Toes up, Buck. With us each and every Tuesday. Griff, top of the hour. And then Gator Day. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's really starting to crank up now with more volume. Trying to get out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, right on schedule, actually, for this time of the morning on 24 westbound. As you come up through the Antioch area, it's traffic really starting to pick up now with some more volume out in Wilson County through the Mount Juliet area, especially westbound I-40. That's really picking up into Hermitage. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fisher. Guess what? The Cats are back. The Nashville Cats will be returning to the Municipal Auditorium on April 27th in the season opener against the Minnesota Myth. There will be 5 total games played at Municipal Auditorium with 1 additional game played up in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena on Armed Forces Day on Saturday, May 18th. For player or dance team tryouts or tickets, log on to thenashvillecats.com.
Attention business owners. WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
JB and the General.
Really, I'd say if a move isn't made within the next 48 hours after the season's conclusion, maybe that's your answer.
There, yeah, I agree. If this is not immediate, because it shouldn't have to be anything Candace has to think about. You know, she should be all in one way or the other. He's coming back or he's gone. Like, that decision should already be made. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Nobody knows more about college football history than Bill King.
Reminiscing a little bit. That 83 season, NC State with a huge upset over Houston and their Phi Slamma Jamma team. Incredible team. I will never forget the semifinal, I believe it was that year, which was Louisville against Houston. Probably the best athletic display of talent that I've seen in college basketball between two teams. Just amazing. Denny Crum, remember, won it in 80 and 86. Had so many good teams through there. So many good athletes. Houston loaded with Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Larry Meeshaw, Alvin Franklin, Reed Geddes, Benny Anders. I'm trying to remember everybody, but amazing time. I was just thinking that same year, now in the spring, NC State, huge upset. Huge upset over that Houston team. No way on paper you win that game, and they did. Football season starts a couple of months later. College football, Miami loses their opener to Florida. I believe the score was 28-3. Gators beat them. Miami does not lose another game, including huge upset, huge, over Nebraska that year in the Orange Bowl. Huge. I remember watching that game just in shock that Miami is winning that game. They took the lead from the beginning. And we talk about all these loaded Nebraska teams that Dr. Tom had in the mid-90s, 94, 95, 96, 97. Three of the last four, he won natties. That 83 team might have been the best team. Now, again, nobody has the sex appeal of that 95 team, but that 83 team was loaded. On paper, no way. Should Miami beat that Nebraska team? Interesting period of time. I'm finishing up college at that point, and I'm a huge fan, just watching it. Always looking at recruiting lists and who's going where and all that. But I just remember thinking, and it was some really good lessons about sometimes the big favorite doesn't win. A lot of times they do, but some good lessons there. And then in 84, if you think about it, that would be Georgetown won it all that year, right? Yeah, Georgetown won it all that year, but some interesting. And then in 85, you had another just phenomenal upset, Villanova beating Georgetown in the championship game of the NCAA tournament. And I'm thinking, no way. There is no freaking way. Yeah, well, remember, I believe Georgetown and Villanova played, because they're in the Big East together, they played three times. They played two in the regular season. They played in the Big East tournament. Georgetown wins all those games. And then they played for a fourth time in the NCAA tournament championship game, and that one Villanova wins. How about that? Yeah, how about that? Some really interesting, fun times. Tom in Myrtle Beach. Bill, I know you're not a big fan of spring games, but Ohio State will have the first ever nationally televised spring game / practice. I'll be there. So will Buckeye Brenda and Josh. I have an extra seat in the club section there, Bill. April 13th at noon. I'm assuming that's Eastern time. On Fox, the Ohio State spring game. Well, I'll have it on, probably. I'm sure I will. I'll have that on. I'll probably be waiting on some college baseball to get started. But, no, I'll have it on. Can I trick my brain into locking in deep on it? Probably not. Probably not. I struggle there with attention problems. Now, do I want to see how some of the newcomers look for Ohio State? Yeah, but in a spring game, I've already seen them play plenty of college ball. So I don't know if I can somehow put myself in a trance and affix my brain intimately to a spring game. That's going to be hard, but it'll be on. Somebody will tweet how good an individual player is, which is totally meaningless in that ballgame. But, man, did you see Quinshon Judkins? Man, that was a good run by him. Okay. Appreciate that info. Yeah, thanks for the heads up there. I wouldn't have known that otherwise. Caleb Downs. Wow. You see the hit he put on that receiver? Man, is he good in the open field. Okay, thanks for that too. Appreciate that update. Don't think I would have known that otherwise. It's not like he was a big-name recruit or anything out of Georgia. Nobody wanted him. All right, we'll take a break. Griff at the top of the hour. I know you're looking forward to that. I can just tell.
Good morning. It's running pretty slow now as we check it out live up through the Antioch area on 24 westbound with all that heavy traffic volume coming in right now from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. It's also pretty congested at times there on Vietnam Vets westbound at Conference Drive. All that traffic leaving Hendersonville, coming through Sumner County towards Nashville is really on the increase. Same thing there in Wilson County as that continues to build into Hermitage. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has got you covered with catering. Check out that awesome menu at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding listeners that every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. Giving equals living, so please consider donating blood today. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the lsco.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. It's a Star Leasing.com to learn more.
It's a Bill King Show.
Of course, you know what kicks in right after recruiting, and it accelerates, and that's knucklehead season. So God knows what happens, who it happens to, when it happens, but if you're a fan of whatever school, it's coming your way. Knucklehead season always sprouts up.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
All right. Coach Cal, John Calipari, Kentucky, said on his radio show Monday night, last night, that he and the AD, Mitch Barnhart, would meet soon. Maybe today. I'm not sure how that was worded, but possibly today. To discuss the future. I'm assuming that he's going to be back. They're going to give him another year. Don't know that. Do not know that as factual. I'm just telling you, that's my assumption. That could be 180 from the actual outcome. Maybe they get in that meeting, they demand Calipari do some things, he doesn't want to do it, and they decide to part ways. That could happen too. I'm assuming he's given another year. That's a guess. Put that in bold font with quotes around it. That's a guess. The business model, which is going and getting Johnny Five-Star, better than anybody else, throwing Johnny Five-Star at the roster, going and beating all these veterans in a tournament-style lose-and-go-home, that business model has not been working. It was working. It was working very well. It's not working anymore. Don't know if it's just because of the veterans through the transfer portal on all these other rosters or if he's lost his internal fire. Now, one thing you'll notice about them, they didn't play, at times, a lick of defense. In football terms, Kentucky liked to beat you 48-45. Yeah, all you Oblong Spheroid fans, which I am too. In football terms, they like to put up 48 and they'd probably give up 45. If they lost, maybe they'd give up 51. That was the basketball business model. Now, from an offensive standpoint, it's fun to watch in basketball. I like teams that get up and down the court and score. That's not everybody's MO, but I like that. I do think style of play matters to me more in basketball than it does football. Football, I can take it any way you serve it up. Lots of scoring. I can take it like the Alabama-LSU game circa regular season 2011, which was the 9-6 game. Now, do I want every game to be 9-6? Probably not, but I can handle that. I can handle Navy running the triple option. I can handle Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech running the triple option. Love it. Give me some. Let me digest it. Basketball, I don't like grinders too much. I guess it's impressive, but I like getting up and down and lots of scoring. Kentucky did that. They just couldn't slow anybody down. And they've got to get somebody. It looks like you want some more football analogies just to keep it real here. Kentucky defensively looked like they hired Brian Van Gorder after his time at Georgia. Remember, he was good at Georgia. After that, he wasn't any good at all as a defensive coordinator. Looks like they brought in BVG as the defensive coordinator. And you saw, ask Brian Kelly how that works. Brian Kelly had to run him during the season. Yeah, ask Brian Kelly. We'll have Blake on tomorrow. I'll get Blake. Blake, ask Brian Kelly. Tell him that Bill wants to know, what's it like hiring BVG to shut people down? See how that all turns out. Yeah, this show is so football-oriented, I have to take football analogies to equate a basketball idea. It worked, though. So they're going to meet maybe as early as today. I don't know if any of that's clear. I don't know what the latest is. That was as of last night, and he did his radio show. Sam Dog down in Middle Georgia. Bill, we had some leftover sodium pentothal in Athens. We snuck it into the visitor dugout this weekend. I have not checked. Has a road SEC team won a series yet? I believe Florida. Was it Florida at LSU? I believe that would be the one that I can think of. If there's another one, I'm just not remembering or I didn't notice. But it's tough. His point is, road play so far, actually winning a series is very, very difficult. Jim and Jupiter. Bill, remember, Florida hadn't won anything until Spurrier. They act like they ruled the state, but both Miami and Florida State won bigger first and has done more in college football than the Gators. Florida even, though they were around the longest, actually the third best team in the state of Florida historically. Well, we've talked about it, but Florida until Spurrier was always the should be good, but never was good program. People were talking about Florida, what they could be in the 70s when they hired Doug Dickey. Later when they hired Charlie Pell. And Charlie Pell actually had some really talented teams there in the early 80s. got in a bunch of trouble. And then after that, what, Galen Hall. And then that ended poorly too. But it was always, they should be really good, but they haven't ever done it historically. Spurrier changed that. That's true. Spurrier got that all fixed up. Griff, as we continue.